B-Pod Studios.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, California, it's Felger and Maz live on Radio Row. Presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Also brought to you by PropSwap, Win Waste Innovations, Globalization Partners, and Apex Entertainment. Now from Los Angeles, here are Felger and Maz.
We do have another trade from Adrian Wojnarowski that came in right before the deadline ended. Houston is trading Daniel Tice to the Celtics. Boston is sending guard Dennis Schroeder to the Rockets. Perk, yes. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. The Celtics, the Celtic fan base, they've been waiting to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, waiting to bring back Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice is going to fit perfect between him, Rob Williams, and Al Horford as the three bigs. I love it. He fits in. The guys love him. Dennis Schroeder was just not the favorite in Boston, especially in the locker room. So they had to get rid of it, and they got a guy that they wanted.
Daniel Tice, a great locker room guy, solid player. You just named a lot of big guys. I don't really know what impact Daniel Tice is going to have on the team if they're going to play all these big guys.
Well, they start too big, Zach. So they start Al Horford and Rob Williams, and then you have Daniel Tice coming in off the bench.
Al Horford's been their backup center, effectively, and then you play a little Ennis Freedom, Grant Williams, and just fall down five.
Ennis Freedom is nowhere in the equation, okay?
Oh, it's so disappointing. I like Perk. I like his analysis usually. The fans of Boston were clamoring for Daniel Tice.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell that came from. I have no idea on that.
That actually might be true. Those idiots.
Yeah, those freaking green teamers. It's true.
Love Daniel Tice.
Here we go. The fans in Boston were clamoring for Dennis Schroeder to get out of here, and they were clamoring for the return of Daniel Tice. I think he said that. Something along those lines.
I would say that's accurate. I think Perk's right on this one.
Okay, can I hear that piece again, please? Like, what is... Come on, Perk. You're better than this. I
love it. The Celtics, fan base, they've been waiting to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, waiting to bring back Daniel Tice. Tice is going to fit perfect.
They've been waiting to have you heard one person anywhere at any point in time say anything about Daniel Tice?
Well, since he left, I couldn't wait till he got back.
I mean, who's been waiting for Daniel Tice to come back?
I heard that one. I went, holy crap. Josh Richardson out the door. Schroeder, I knew, was gone. I felt that was coming just because there was clearly a sense that was not working inside the locker room.
Yes.
Okay, so he was out. But Tice? Who in their right minds was saying Daniel Tice?
Oh, my God.
Maybe Luka.
They've been waiting to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, waiting to bring back Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice is going to fit perfect.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you. And then Zach Lowe cuts him off and says, well, now you get three bigs. You know, it was working fine in his freedom. What? Like, I, as much as you were talking about Perk, I lost respect for Zach Lowe. You're getting Inez Freedom into the, is that what they call him?
Yeah, but he's gone now.
But the point being is like that, so you think Inez Freedom was some sort of solution? He was part of the operation? He sucks. He freaking blows. Like, what's he watching? I look at Zach Lowe now and say, are you serious? I'm talking to him like the callers talk to us.
So we're here at the Super Bowl. L.A. Convention Center, Radio Row.
And this canter sucks.
Daniel Tice is going to fit perfect.
Oh, my God. So we'll mix in a few guests as they come, but we're mostly done for the day in terms of schedule. For some surprises, there'll be some surprises.
They've been waiting to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, waiting to bring back Daniel Tice.
The big news today is...
clamoring for Tice.
What the Celtics
Daniel Tice
did,
is going to fit perfect.
Oh, my God, stop. At the trade deadline. And I am thoroughly underwhelmed. I'm disappointed as someone who thinks there's value in the Celtics doing something here. This season, going on a run, and I feel like they got worse. I thought they needed shooting. They didn't add it. I'm sorry. Daniel Tice can knock down a three, but he's below 30% behind the line. The Derek White kid is just over 30%. So he's like, I think Marcus Smart might be shooting better from three this year than this White kid.
Oh, I think that's right.
The White is a Marcus Smart knockoff. Maybe a little better in some regards, a little worse in other regards, but he's got 3 years left at $17 million. It's sort of, he's not a pure point guard like Marcus Smart, and he's not really a shooting guard. He doesn't shoot that well to be a pure shooting guard.
So if he's Smart Light, I mean, they're just looking for him to mirror what he does on the bench. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, so, they're just looking for more continuity with their offense.
I think Josh Richardson was a more valuable piece off the bench because he can come down and knock down a three.
I would agree.
And that's what you're talking. That's what. Yeah, that's the whole thing that they were talking about Brown and Tatum sharing the ball and those guys trusting their teammates to knock down a shot so they can share the ball and kick it out. And they'll kick it out to Josh Richardson.
So it's the added element of his defense, knowing the Celtics system, because he's already played with these guys on the FIBA team that Udoka coached. Udoka loves this guy. That's the bottom line. That's what it comes down to.
This is what I don't like, is that Udoka fell in love with him at either with San Antonio in his time there or this international tournament that he coached a couple of years ago. Devin White was on the team with Brown, Tatum, and Smart. So maybe they all developed a relationship, and that's why he's here. And not necessarily for the pure basketball fit. I don't see the pure basketball fit. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm totally flummoxed by the money part of it. After all this time spent and all the pages wasted about how crucial it is for them to get into their luxury tax, they added this kid at $17 million per for the next 3 or 4 years, and Daniel Tice at just under $9 million or $10 million for like the next 4 years. So you added salary, and I don't think he got better. So that's your Celtics reset. What do you think? Here's our sponsors. Are your New England Honda dealers and safety insurance. The 4 p.m. hour of the program is brought to you by Globalization Partners. Here from Radio Row. Yes, Murray, before I go back to the phones, do you have something?
Well, so would you feel better about it if, and this isn't me looking at anything, I'm just thinking out loud here. If, so again, that they, this kid played with them at that FIBA tournament and that they went to Tatum and said, like, hey, who's out there? We're not going to make a blockbuster move that you think would be a good fit. And both Tatum and Brown were like, this is the dude. Go get him. If that's part of the, if this is part of that, like, I think that makes it easier to digest.
I don't, I mean, like, part of me says yes. You know, you've got to cater to those guys' wishes. That's the way it works. But do they like the kid because, you know, they went to Pound? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they went to Pound Town one night and had a good run.
I see what you mean. But
or is it because they really think they like the way he comes off the screen or the way that he penetrates and dishes? Or is there a real tangible X and O basketball reason? I'll take that. If it's just because they're buddies with the guy and he's good but not great, no, then I'm not into it. So, I guess that's that.
If it's strictly for basketball reasons, which I think it would be, like Derek White then, you know, I could see why they would want him just based on that he had played with them before in that tournament and all of that.
I mean, I do like White. Brian Robb was saying that this trade makes them better defensively, okay? And I would say their defense was already good. They needed to get better offensively.
Defense has been good recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, when the effort's there, their defense is good.
Yeah, I would say, though, overall for the, you know, their defense for the year has been pretty good. Maybe at the beginning was a little shaky, but, you know, overall they've played good defense. You know, not maybe not great, but pretty good. Their offense a lot of times this year has sucked in the half court. Has been better of. See, I worry more about the offense, Murray, than the defense.
Okay, your thoughts, as promised, back to your phones. Longest order of wait would be Justin in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Justin. Justin, your phone's breaking up, man. Why don't you pull over or go to a better zone and try it again? Here's Ben in Groveland. Go ahead, Ben.
Boys, I love your show. I'm not going to lie to you. I mostly hate listen. Like, every day I leave work, I drive home, I listen to you, and I hate it. So I listen. And I hate it even more when you talk about the Celtics and the trade deadline. They got the best player in the deal. They got the best player. Maz, rhetorical question for you. Tell me the last time you watched a Spurs game when they didn't play the Celtics. Derek White is clearly... head and shoulders better than Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson is having a career year, so exactly. You sell high. You weren't going to re-sign Dennis Schroeder anyway. You get rid of that bum Romeo Langford. You have a short bench with Derek White. Derek White is a really good player, and you were like, the other guy called up for Tyrese Haliburton. We were not – you guys get mad that Danny Ainge never makes these deals and too busy want to rip people off, but then Brad goes and makes a deal, a simple deal that makes our team better for this year and next year. Thanks, guys.
I don't agree with you. And well, are you still there, Ben? Let me ask you something. If this guy's so head and shoulders the best player in the deal, why did Popovich give up on him?
I don't know about giving up. I don't know if you know the Spurs kind of suck, and I think Pop's kind of overrated. Like, what has Pop done since Duncan retired?
Okay, now Popovich sucks. All right. I mean that's the answer. If I say to you, if this kid is so clearly the best deal, the best player in the deal, if he's so clearly better than everybody else in this trade, then he's even got a good contract. He's under $20 million a year. So why is Greg Popovich dealing off elite young players on good contracts? Greg Popovich. The answer, the only way you can feel better about yourself as a Celtics fan is that, Popovich sucks. He's overrated.
He's lost it. He's old.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, I mean, but that's the answer. I don't necessarily believe that, because when I saw that Spurs team play, I thought Popovich was getting more out of that team than he had any right to.
Well, they played way better team basketball than the Celtics did. And to answer his question, I don't watch the Spurs on a regular basis. I'm telling you that I like White, though. Well, obviously, he didn't listen to that part of it, which, again, is fine. I like White. I think White's a pretty good player. I don't love the fact that they lost Richardson and lost Schroeder and got only White and Tice. Tice, to me, feels like a nothing trade. Nothing.
Daniel Tice. I mean, again, as Stu just sums up, Richardson, Schroeder, Langford, Enes Kanter. Who's Bruno?
Bruno Fernando.
Bruno Fernando.
I forgot he was even here.
Yeah.
Bol Bol. Who's PJ again?
PJ Dozier.
Yeah,
DJ Dozier. A first-round pick and a pick swap for Derek White and Daniel Tice. Doesn't that feel like a little heavy, a little overpay? I mean, and again, the Bol Bols and DJ Dozier's and
right, exactly.
Fine.
Throw those out.
I think,
okay.
Matt said earlier, in a perfect world.
Richardson, Schroeder, Langford, a first and another pick swap. So those are five actual pieces. I mean, Langford was a recent first-round pick. Like, that feels a lot.
Yeah, and because in reality, it feels like it should just be Schroeder for Tice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You said that earlier. Like, it just, this feels like, what, you had to give all that to get that
you know what?
Pick?
I'd feel better if it was Schroeder for White, and I'm keeping Josh Richardson. That seems to me to fit better.
Yeah, so look, Schroeder's not enough for White, no probability.
And the number of Celtics fans now who are saying that their bench is smaller and this is good. Like, you have fewer good players.
No, smaller bench is good.
Good.
Yeah.
No. You used to have eight players that can play. Now you're down to six, but that's good.
No, when they had 10, that was good, because remember, they're really deep. Now they only have a couple. That's good, too.
Jesus.
So I told you, if they had kept Richardson and added White, I would have liked it.
Yeah. Andrew and Seekonk. Go ahead, Andrew.
This is a disappointing day, guys. I mean, the Derek White move only made sense if they were adding a shooter, which they didn't, even though there was multiple ones available all week. When I saw that they were trading with the Rockets, my first thought was Eric Gordon, right? No brainer. They didn't get him. If you look at all the trades they did today, and you already mentioned it, Felger, one thing that's clear, Brad Stevens is a poor evaluator of trade value. Hands down. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I felt like they overpaid today. What was the motivation today? It feels like they wanted White because that was Udoka's guy, and they wanted to get rid of Schroeder because the locker room didn't like him. And they were going to do whatever it took to facilitate those two things. And I feel like they overpaid. I feel like I'm less concerned with. If it helps your team, it's okay to overpay. You know, if you get something that's worth it, if you get something that helps you and you overpay, well, fine. At least you are getting something that helps you. I'm not even sure they were helped today.
Okay, what if it extends the window with Tatum and Brown?
I don't know if it makes the team better, then I guess that would do that. I don't think it does that. I think they got worse today, talent-wise. I do.
No, when I say extend the window, I mean that maybe not, what if down the road it inspires Brown to re-up here?
What about this would it do? Because Daniel Tice is here?
No, because White. Maybe
okay.
He likes White.
All right, so maybe. Yeah.
He's a facilitator. People keep tweeting at me his numbers. He averages 5.6 assists on a bad team. So if it's about, you know, facilitating getting the ball to Brown and Tatum more, you could see how that would make them
happy.
I'm
telling you, he's going to be the guy that runs the offense when Smart's off the floor.
What does that mean, 18 minutes a night?
Something like that, probably.
All right. I don't know.
He might play with Smart sometimes, too, so it'll probably be higher than that.
You overpaid for a guy. I mean, hopefully it's higher than that, minute-wise, but if that's what it is, if he's just a role player, a bench player, I don't know. And his assist numbers have been up the last 2 years. That is true. But again, I'm just giving you the scouting report that I've been handed. He's not a pure point guard.
It's not the White part that bothers me, because I like White. I think White's a good player. It's the rest of it that bothers me.
All right, back to your phones and your reaction to today's Celtics deadline deals right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are live on Radio Row from Los Angeles. Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz back here from Los Angeles. Let's introduce one football thing. This came out overnight. Mac Jones was apparently mic'd. Not apparently. He was. Or he was mic'd up, or Darius Slay was mic'd up. Anyway, there was some mic'd up sound coming back from the Pro Bowl that after Mac Jones threw his touchdown pass to Renfro in the corner of the end zone that got Murray all horny over there, all horned up for Mac Jones because he showed great mobility, Maz.
Oh, yeah, no, and the defenders tried on that.
No, it was just
it was a good throw.
But this was the play that we were talking about the other day. After the touchdown, Mac Jones gets in Darius Slay's face and starts chirping him. Here's how it sounded.
Where were you at? Where were you at the whole drive? The whole drive. The whole drive you're playing on your phone. What's up, bro? Remember when I torched y'all in training camp? It was like training camp.
No.
When I torched y'all.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You would be our last training camp.
No way. When I went in?
Yeah. No, you were.
Bro, that was good.
Did you?
Yeah. Stop lifting so many weights. Good job, buddy.
How'd you feel about that, Maz?
Okay, so I don't love the whole thing, stop lifting so many weights, because Mac Jones could use a few. Okay, so that. But overall, I liked it.
You began to see it?
I did kind of like it.
Began to see that thing with him?
Yeah, it's a good side of him. I'm glad I saw that.
Yeah.
How'd you feel after? You remember when I torched you in camp? You remember that? How did I torch you all? That I like.
It makes me feel better about the gritty dance, because now that you see this and you see someone like yesterday, Matthew Judon, saying like, no, like you can see why players gravitate to him. It's the
he has a manner about him that is,
well, it's genuine, right? Like, that's, I saw those clips. I was like, okay, he belongs. I can see why, again, players respect him. It's the, there's this saying mostly from like hip hop culture, like real recognize real. Like, I can understand why dudes look at Mac Jones and are like, yeah, he's not trying. There's nothing contrived about it. He's just him. And he is kind of goofy and a little bit dorky, but that's part of the charm of it. Like, they're probably like, this dude's got a mouth on him for like a...
Seriously?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, for a guy
who's... For a rookie that's only been here for a minute, you know?
Who, and again, please take this with the spirit with which I say it, is not that good. I mean, he was a good rookie. You know, he's certainly no bum, but it's not like we're talking about Joe Burrow out here, or even Justin Herbert, a guy who like everyone looks at and goes, this is the guy.
And dare I say, remember who this is coming from. It's a little Brady-ish.
Oh God, please. Would you stop with that?
The mouth, that kind of chirping. I liked it. I saw this. I was like, all right, I respect the kid a little bit more now.
Okay, does he talk the same kind of trash in a real game? Or is it just because this was a, you know, after Thanksgiving Day game kind of picnic thing and they're all in the backyard chucking the ball around having a grand old time?
This was his reputation coming out of Alabama.
Okay.
I've been trying to say this, Maz, and not that I saw it. How do I know? But I remember Chris Sims had a comment and others had said that he had this weird sort of dorky white guy magnetism, or this sort of dorky coolness to him that his teammates really sort of appreciate. He connects with guys in the locker room, black, white, anywhere in between, and he sort of has this thing about him that that people noticed and gravitated to. And that was his scouting report coming out of Alabama. And I would just read that, I'd be like, I don't know what this means. I don't get it, but whatever, that's what it is.
But this makes that make sense.
And then you see these things, and it's like, oh, that's what they're talking about. I mean, the way he got in Slay's face was, I'm just trying to, you know, think of the right adjective for it.
It's playful ball busting.
It was playful ball busting. It was. It was playful and trash talky, but not confrontational on a level that you can just see what they were talking about.
Okay, so I get that part of it. I do. What does that have to do with his ability to play well at quarterback?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that quality, but if he sucks, all this goes for naught. Then he's just a likable goof who can't play.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes, that's all. And so, do I like him? Yeah, he's a likable kid. Great. He can streak down the middle of the field in the Pro Bowl for all I care.
His physical attributes might not ever match that internal confidence that he has. But with that internal confidence, it can maybe lead to him taking a chance on a big third down, or like, you know, I think that's a good thing to have, to be that kind of cocky, but also goofy with it. It's a good thing.
Stu, give it to me one more time, just because I enjoyed it.
Where were you at the whole drive? The whole drive. The whole drive you're playing on your phone. What's up, bro? Remember when I torched y'all in training camp? It was like training camp. When I torched y'all.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Who would be our last training camp?
No way. When I went in?
Yeah. No, you were.
Bro, that was good. Yeah. Stop lifting so many weights. Good job, buddy.
So I love it. You know, he even takes a shot at Cam Newton in there. It's like, you know, when I taught y'all training camp, and Slay probably, did they have joint practices with the Eagles? Or
yes.
Where's Slay? You know, it was, so I was like, torched us? Wait, and Mac just said, no, when I was in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you must have confused me with the other guy. No, when I was in there, we torched you. But where were you all drive? You were playing with your phone all drive. Like, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I guess.
Okay, if if he can't play, he can't play. But the other, like those other pieces to it, I think he just does check those boxes. Now I need to see, to your point, I want to see him show up next year a little more chiseled and have him drop some of that doughy fat and have gotten on the, I want to see some bulk and some few more lines from him when he wears a tight compression shirt.
Oh, he's got to get stronger, please. And the arm's got to get stronger. See, like that kind of comment, I could see Burrow making that comment in a real game. In a guy's face going, yo, where was your ass on that play? Where was it? Because our guy's ass was in the end zone. Like, that's what I want to see.
Mazz is projecting
always
the Burrow
goes
thing.
Back, yeah, to Burrow.
Where's the Burrow? Where do we know that Burrow did that in a regular season?
After hearing that, does he strike you as a dude that wouldn't do that in a real game?
I don't know.
If he was having a really good game?
I just think, again, the Pro Bowl is your classic, you know, let's go out and play family football after Thanksgiving, two-hand touch in the backyard. That's what the Pro Bowl is. Everybody's having a gay old time. You know, let's have fun, blah, 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 so you can talk trash and nobody gives a rat's ass because no one's really trying to win. So when people are really trying to win, is he the same guy? Or is this just casual Mac Jones at the company picnic?
I see your point. I don't know. That kind of ball busting does it comes naturally for some people. I think he is really good
natural.
At it.
That was a natural.
Yeah.
That was a nat. That's who the guy is. And I can see why.
I could see him doing it in a real game.
And I can see why other players would gravitate to it.
Yeah.
That's all. I think. He has that quality to him, and that's not the final analysis. If he can't play, it's not worth anything. But if you can play and you carry yourself the right way, then I think that does go a long way. But the physical part of it was always going to be a bigger hurdle for him, and it remains. So we're on the same page on that one. Meanwhile, Murray in our pre-show email tried to talk about the Super Bowl and the actual Rams-Bengals game. I don't know. Do you want a minute on that, Murray?
Well, I feel like there's not a lot of buzz for it.
No,
just
there's not.
Locally, nationally, and I just don't know if that's in a, you know, that's because all these other stories that are going on in the NFL with the Brian Flores thing and then Brady retiring. But even here,
it's the teams.
I just feel like it's an afterthought. So is it the teams? Is that they're not the sexiest teams? The Bengals certainly aren't. The people look at the Bengals as an afterthought and lucky to be here in the first place, and they're mad Kansas City didn't make it. It just feels like there's not much about this game. And I also wonder if, and I know the spread is low, and we had the dude from DraftKings on earlier, and he thinks it's going to be a close game. I think this game's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to go the way of last year. You know, it's going to be unsexy, but it's going to be about the trenches, and the Rams are going to dominate that week. Cincinnati offensive line, and that game, even though it was good for me last year as a Brady fan watching the Bucks blow out the Chiefs, but that game, if for the casual fan, wasn't that entertaining. I think it's going to be in the vein of that, and also the game at San Francisco when it was Denver and Carolina. Like, it was about the trenches, and Denver was dominant. They have Von Miller. Von Miller's now on this team. I just think the Rams are going to end up killing this Bengals team. I want it to be close. I want to be wrong. I hope the Bengals win, but I think they're going to get blown out.
The Rams should dominate.
It's their game to lose.
They should dominate. I don't care what the spread is. To me, the Rams' talent level is way, way higher.
Pro Football
Focus. Tier one, Rams.
Yeah.
Tier one.
Well, let me just, to illustrate that, Mazz, Pro Football Focus ranked the 10 best players in this game. 7 of them are Rams.
Yes. Yeah.
It should be that way.
It's that lopsided. It is.
Outside of Burrow, Chase, and I can't remember who the third one is. It might have been Hendrickson,
defensive
pass rusher. Outside of those three, all 7 were Rams.
Yes, and it should be. The Rams are stacked. They got tremendous talent. So the real issue is, how did the Rams end up with, what did they go, 12-5? I think they lost 5 games, and they kind of were fading at the end of the year. How did that happen? And I would tell you, I'm not sure they've played all that great in the postseason either.
Sloppy games, yeah.
Yeah, so the quarterback feels like an accident waiting to happen. You know, they turn the ball over in Tampa Bay a lot. Like, I just think the Rams, for whatever reason, don't play up to their talent. The Bengals are the opposite. I think the Bengals are playing beyond their talent a little bit. So I'm rooting Cincinnati, but it should be Rams by a touchdown at least.
That's what I wonder, if people that look at this and say this game's going to stink, so that's why they don't care about that much.
I think it goes back to the quarterbacks. It's become such a quarterback-centric thing, and they're the stars, and they're on the marquee. This is a game that could have been some combination of Brady Mahomes, Rodgers Mahomes, Josh Allen, who I think has more juice right now than Burrow, although it's close. But, you know, Allen is, I think, the next big thing. Big thing. You know, could have been Allen, Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers. He could have some combination of that.
That would have been so sexy.
Instead, it's Stafford and Burrow. And I think that just people sort of begin and end with that. And so I think they got an unsexy quarterback matchup.
Oh, this would be so much better if Burrow played for the Rams instead of that crap bag.
Seriously,
Bengals.
And I think the Bengals bring the whole thing down.
Oh, they
oh without question.
When is a low rent
organization.
When has anybody ever stayed home to watch Cincinnati in any sport? Ever.
1975 in the Big Red Machine.
Great. 50 years ago.
But that's,
exactly.
That was
my
the last
father.
Time. Yes, right.
Yes, that's it. Like, Cincinnati kills everything. That city sucks. They're all their teams suck. They ruin everything all the time.
So Maz's big bias against Cincinnati ultimately goes back to the chili on the pasta
skyline
that,
chili
that he's offended by.
I mean, now that I think of it, this city really, I mean, this Super Bowl really is two cities that I despise. But I despise L.A. less.
You've had a good time this week, you big baby.
I had a pretty good time.
All right, there's some football for you. Back to your phones after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. A lot of doings with the Celtics today. Here's the very latest, and we come back and discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz are back on Radio Row.
Ooh, I like this.
Broadcasting from the L.A. Convention Center.
Boring.
Presented by your New England Honda dealers. Austin's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you know who calls the plays?
Yes, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So, but Gerard Mayo leads most of the meetings, right? Mayo leads the meetings and Steve calls the plays. That's not awkward at all?
We understand it. We understand what's going on. Coach Mayo leads the meeting, but also Steve leads the meeting, and it doesn't matter who's the defensive coordinator. I think a lot of people would try to put that on that, but we're with our position coaches so much more than with our defensive coordinator. So, but when we're in a meeting, it's not like only the defensive coordinator talks.
Here's our Matthew Judon conversation from yesterday, just clarifying the roles there on defense. There was one little nuance thing in there that you guys picked up on that you want to hit on.
Murray picked up on it, and go ahead, Murray.
Well, it was someone that tweeted to me almost immediately, and I was like, that's a great observation. So that's Matthew Judon talking about, you know, those coaches on that side of the ball. And so it's one guy's coach, the other guy's Steve.
Coach Mayo. Understand it. We understand what's going on. Coach Mayo leads the meeting, but also Steve leads the meeting.
So, and you know, and I retweeted this saying, you know, good observation to this dude that was listening. They're like, well, you can't call him Coach Belichick because then you'll get confused. No, I'm sorry. You put the title in front of someone you respect. Coach Mayo, Judge Smalls, Mr. Whoever. You know, like someone you respect, you put that in front of their
Judge
name.
Smalls?
Judge Smalls.
Judge Smalls.
Smalls,
you.
Smalls.
No,
you know
no,
what
no,
I meant.
Well,
you know what I meant. You put the title in front of the name of someone you respect. And those dudes, I think, definitely respect Gerard Mayo. So it's Coach Mayo. And then, you know, Steve, I guess he's the one that...
I'm with Murray.
Of course you are.
No, so again, you understand this dynamic.
Of course.
Like in football, that's a big deal. Right? I remember we had Carter on once, and you respectfully referred to him as coach because you understand sort of the dynamic in that league.
Who did I just...
Bill Cowher.
Oh, okay.
Right? And he was in media at the time, but this is years ago. But, it's sort of a thing in that league.
Look how
right?
Deion Sanders just lost his mind. You know, how he's the head coach of whatever that college team.
Oh, yeah, he was ridiculous.
I know. Some people are out of their minds about that, but those dudes want to be called coach, fill in the name. So, you know... He's talking about Coach Mayo, and, you know, Coach Mayo does this. That, and then there's, you know, Steve with his stupid mullet and his tongue always moving 1,000 miles. I don't think we're reading too much into that, and neither
folks,
was the guy that observed that.
What Murray just did is put it through the Felger and Mass translator.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All he said was Coach Mayo and Steve, and now we've got the kid with the mullet and his stupid facial expression.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree with Murray. I do. He could call him Coach Steve if he didn't want to. Like,
yeah.
He could absolutely, yeah, the title, you think he's calling him Dante, if it's Dante Scarnecchia?
And so if it's,
no way.
If it's not about the aesthetics, the mullet, the tongue going 1,000 miles an hour, Maybe it's just Steve, the coach's son.
Yes, it's the coach's kid.
But with the eye roll.
Steve.
It's that. And then I also think the thing about him just calling the plays but not leading the unit or the meetings, or, again, he's uncomfortable with the public speaking part of it, or that sort of the personality part of it is, I don't know, it's like, the nerd upstairs is calling the plays. He's not a football player. He doesn't know what we're doing down here. He's just a guy looking at the film. It's just, you know, like, there's no connection there. It's like if I were a baseball player, how I would view all the kids up in the front office.
Yes.
Like, it's just these kids don't even watch the game.
Yes.
You know, they're not involved with us. They're not in our world. They're just some sort of analyst telling us what to do.
It's not a real relationship. There's no level of intimacy there. And that's how these guys, I think you build that bond. So, again, they have that bond with Gerard Mayo. Because, you know, he's there. He's more hands-on. He has a real relationship with him. So he's Coach Mayo. But the plays come down from Steve. You know, Steve in the other room with the mullet and the tongue.
All right, so
coach's
can
boy.
I go back to that Dallas game when McCourty said they were in the wrong defense? Like, you know, and then obviously something changed there, so maybe Steve wasn't calling the game so much.
All right, so there's that thought as well. Back to your phones as promised. Fred in Worcester on Belichick. Go ahead, Fred.
How you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
So, you know, we've been hearing this mantra for 20-plus years. Next man up. Next coordinator up, too. But yet, you know, nothing seems to be happening. And I want you to remember something, boys. I remember in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and Malcolm Butler didn't play. I don't know if you guys really know what happened there. It was because of the argument between Steve Belichick and Malcolm Butler, and Bill walked in on it, and prior to that, he overheard Malcolm saying not some nice stuff to his son, Steve. He was given a chance to apologize, and he said no.
Something like that. I do think Steve Belichick was in the middle of whatever was going on with Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, he probably called him Steve instead of Coach Steve.
We've heard a bunch of different stories. I'm sure the truth is somewhere in those stories.
Most of them involve Stephen Belichick in some way, shape, or form.
It introduces a whole dynamic in there that shouldn't be there. So now you got to treat him differently because he's the coach's son.
Michael and Taunton on the Super Bowl matchup. What do you got, Mike?
Hey, guys, about the Super Bowl, I think the Bengals could make it an interesting game because of Joe Burrow alone, but one of the things that works in the Rams' favor is how questionable that Bengals' offensive line is. Like, how are they going to protect Burrow against that pass rush? So I think
sir.
Well,
I mean, they got apparently a platoon at right guard. Even Bedard, when Bedard says they got these two guys at right guard, I don't even know who they are. When Bedard says he doesn't know the guards, like, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just there's two guys swapping in and out of there. So the long and short of it is, because Cincinnati doesn't have good individual offensive linemen, they're going to have to double-team Donald. It's just the only way around it. That means Von Miller's going to be free, and I'm with Murray. I mean, the Rams own the matchups inside, and that usually determines the game.
And so the counter for this, I would think, is screens. So I said when you did the three up, three down, someone that could have an effect in this game is that Perrine, the little guy, the running back, who's, like, short of 6 feet. So but I don't know, like, in any of these playoff games, do you remember them doing a lot of screens, the Bengals? Because I don't.
They want to push
the ball. They had a couple big screens in Kansas City. Absolutely,
Kansas City?
Yeah. They scored their first touchdown on a screen.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was one of those Supreme.
I think they had a couple of really big screen plays against the Chiefs.
So that's how they counter it.
I just question how reliable he is, P-Run.
P-Run.
Here's Brett in Southie from Maz in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, quick fact check for Maz, but also kind of backs up his point. They actually won the World Series in 1990, but no one remembers. They're just a bunch of losers. Also, Maz, thanks for the cameo for my birthday a few weeks ago. You killed it. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
These guys are good on cameo.
Yeah.
He's been doing cameos out here?
I did a couple in the last couple days.
I did one last night, hungover as all hell in bed.
I did them last night. I did totally there. And look, the 1990 Reds. Look, they beat the A's. I mean, but, like, nobody remembers the World Series. They swept them. That was the Nasty Boys, that whole thing.
Yep.
But, again, Cincinnati never makes a sporting event better.
No, no. The last time they did was the Big Red Machine.
Yes.
That was a fun.
50 years ago.
Bench.
They
Morgan,
were a great team.
Great team. Foster,
yes.
Like, that was a great
that
team.
That was a different era. Now, and the Rams, sneaky suckbag team. Sneaky suckbag.
And chili on top of pasta?
In Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insulting.
Your thoughts?
Oh, that's their idea of a gourmet meal. Let me open up a can of Hormel chili, throw some pasta in a pan, you know, 15 minutes, pull it out, dump the chili on top, and there we go. It's like going to the Four Seasons and eating in, what is it, Aujourd'hui, or what's the name of the restaurant there? I forget. Anyway, same idea.
Bristol.
Same idea. It's just, I'm telling you, Cincinnati is one of the great gutters in America. It's a complete freaking rat hole. It's like smelling a dumpster every day. That's what it's like. Every day you wake up, you know that dumpster smell I'm talking about?
It's sour.
Of course.
That's Cincinnati. Yeah. That is Cincinnati's America's dumpster. I hate that place.
Long commercial recitement comes your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Nobody does Radio Row like Felger and Matt.
This sucks, that sucks, this sucks, that sucks.
Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tuesday night in Boston, Bruins forward Brad Marchand was assessed a match penalty for his actions towards Penguins goaltender Tristan Jarry. As the video shows, late in the third period, Jarry makes a save and freezes the puck in the goal crease. After the whistle sounds and play comes to a halt, Marchand takes a step around the referee and delivers a gloved punch to the head of the unsuspecting goaltender, knocking him to the ice and setting off a scrum. Marchand is restrained by a linesman, who attempts to escort him off of the ice. As Marchand is being escorted toward the dressing room, he fights through the grasp of the linesman, pushes towards Jarry again, and delivers a sharp jab to the head and neck area of Jarry with his stick. On this play, Marchand is guilty of two violations that warrant supplemental discipline, roughing and high sticking. It is important to note that these acts, both the punch to Jarry and the high stick, were delivered well after the conclusion of play. We find the totality of this play, an intentional punch to the side of the head on an unsuspecting goaltender, coupled with an intentional high stick delivered to the head and neck area while being escorted off of the ice, unacceptable and warranting supplemental discipline. Marchand has been suspended 7 times and fined 5 times previously, with his latest suspension being levied in November of 2021. To summarize, this is roughing and high sticking. Marchand is classified as a repeat offender under the terms of the CBA. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Brad Marchand for 6 games.
All right, we haven't followed up on this all day today, so let's do that. That was the video on the player, the Department of Player Safety there from the NHL handing down 6 games for Brad Marchand, his longest suspension of his career. And when you listen to his track record, which they mentioned there, on the video, you know, whatever, 5 suspensions, 6 fines, whatever it is. He's the most fined and suspended player almost in NHL history since they started doing this. I think he is number one in NHL history. This is the longest suspension he's ever had. So how'd you feel about it, Maz?
Okay, so at the end of the day, Marchand gets what deserves what he gets because he's got a rap sheet as long as his table that we're sitting at, for crying out loud. So from that standpoint, that's why he got this suspension. The in looking back at it again, the punch to the head,
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, it really was.
The optics,
the goalie flopped.
Yeah, the optics are worse than the result.
Oh God! And even the thing with the stick. Like, don't get me wrong, that's getting into a you know, dangerous area potentially. So he deserves something there. But that's a 1-gamer, 2-gamer. And one of the other things that they factor in on these decisions typically is whether there's an injury or not. Well, there was no injury here,
right?
So I think he got walloped. And again, this is his fault. He got walloped because of his past. If he didn't have his past, they hit him hard for these.
Probably would have been 2 games. But given the history, that's why you got this result. It looked bad. Given his history, you knew he was going to get whacked.
See, but he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Right.
Of course not.
Because shut your mouth. You've done this, you know, if we add up everything, 12, 13 times.
I thought he committed a greater crime against his team than he did against the opponent.
It's a good way to put it.
It's really just cheap and, you know.
It's a good way to put it.
You know, he didn't hurt Jarry. He, those things weren't going to hurt him. They were just stupid. And again, the timing of it. Bergeron already out. Rask retired. The team once again at a crossroads. You're their best player and their stand-in team captain. And you can't make it through two periods without getting yourself thrown out and suspended for six games? That's pathetic.
It's selfish. It really is. Because, again, under the circumstances, now more than ever, they need him. You know, he's their best player. You couldn't be more right about that. He's one of the five best players in the league over the last 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's been that good. I've said it a million times to you. I can't believe how good he's become. I never thought Marchand would be this good a player.
Believe me.
Okay, so he is phenomenal, but he just can't get out of his own way with his stupidity.
So have the Bruins said anything, Jimmy? Has Marchand spoken? Has Bruce Cassidy spoken? Has anyone lent any explanation?
I thought Sweeney did something today, didn't he?
Did he? Do we have anything on that? Can anyone just tell me what the hell he said? Like, I mean, and what I mean is what the hell he said. What Jari said to Marchand. Like what?
Oh, there's been nothing on that.
So what was Marchand responding to? That's a piece to the story that still has to be explained to me. And I wonder if Marchand's going to do it to defend himself in some way, shape, or form. You know, because it just can't be you suck or something, the standard chirping. I mean, what could it possibly have been to set him off like that and cause him to do that? So either way, the NHL laid down the hammer, which you knew they were going to do when they said the in-person hearing, that you knew it was going to be five at least, and so he got the six. Yes, Murray?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that was said was from Don Sweeney, like Maz alluded to. Brad is remorseful, feels like he let his team down. Like
he did.
Yeah. Oh, he totally did.
He did.
You couldn't use him tonight against this Hurricanes team? Good luck.
And you know what? Obviously, the last time they got spanked. That was a 7-1 game.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And the one before, they played him twice this year. They've been outscored 10-1. 10-1 in the two games against Carolina. So, you know, you're hitting a good opponent here without Bergeron. Your goalie just retired, or, you know, okay, as small as that is, there was an emotional element to that for the team.
Yep.
And you're not available again for the second time this year.
And for what? For what? So there's your Brad Marchand follow. I just thought it was worth a second since we spent a lot of time on it yesterday. The suspension is in, and the Bruins go forward from here. We'll see how that works out. Final hour of your calls. All right, and we have no guests scheduled. Everything's on the table now that we wanted to bring to the table. The lead item, the lead story is the Celtics at the trade deadline today. Traded a million pieces for Derek White, a combo guard from San Antonio, who some people like. I don't know how you love. And Daniel Tice is somehow back on this basketball team. They've added contracts. They've added salary. They've sent a first-round pick and another swap out the door. They sent Langford, a recent first-round pick, out the door. And what you have back is Derek White and Daniel Tice. I, for one, think they got worse today. I don't like their deadline. How do you feel about it? Back to reaction to that and anything else from today, right after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.